Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
This episode of Check the Locks is brought to you by our friends at Audible.
Audible is your one-stop shop for audio entertainment where you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new.
That's right. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from mysteries, thrillers, biographies, and of course, true crime.
And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from their catalog to keep forever, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible members also get access to thousands of podcasts from popular favorites, exclusive new series, and this very podcast you're listening to now.
Plus, the Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking the dog, doing chores, Audible makes listening anywhere easy.
And best of all, Check the Locks listeners can try Audible for free for 30 days. So head over to audibletrial.com/checkthelocks or click the link in the show notes to start enjoying Audible today.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How are you handling the Justin Timberlake DWI? Is, you know, everything going okay? I know it hit me pretty hard, so I just wanted to check in and see how you were doing.
I'm doing okay. You know, he looks like he's just really trying hard to look real sober in his photo.
I will tell you what, I have never seen a better looking mugshot in my entire life.
No, it actually is a good one. I think I would smile. If I ever got arrested, I'd probably be real pissed, but I'd just grin. Why not?
So I've been arrested and I know for a fact that my mugshot, I look crazy in it. And fortunately my record has been expunged, but there's been so many times where I'm like, I would love, to have it. I would hang it in my house.
I think I would hang a copy of it in my house.
I was a young man. I think I've told the story before, but you know, nothing crazy and
band life.
I just couldn't go to the city of Chicago for a year on probation, but
yeah, no big I was deal. Good.
Yeah. Non-reporting probation. It just meant I didn't report to Chicago, but. But I'm glad your week has been good. If I can ever find that photo, I'll definitely send it to you. But just really excited to be here. I'm also really excited. If you're in our Facebook group or a member of our Patreon family, we're coming up on 100 episodes. And we actually waited because we want to hear from the listeners. So we are holding off to drop it until next Monday because we want to hear your voicemails. We want to have you send in emails. What have you liked about the show? How do you let us, you know, hang out with you? What do you do when you're listening? It's been over 2 years. So yeah. It's just crazy to think that we're hitting 100 cases. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I would really, really love to hear from our community.
Me too. I think it's a time to celebrate. I never would have thought we would have made it to 100 episodes. That's just full-time episodes. That's not even our short on times. Our short on times were at like 80-something.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a mini celebration for the short on time. Like a short...
By the end of summer, probably.
Yeah, if this is like a big cake celebration, like we'll have cupcakes for the short on times.
It's your half birthday.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm with you. I think I said it in one of the videos, but... when we started this, we used to joke like, okay, we'll do this true crime podcast and like our moms and grandmas and maybe like a couple friends will listen.
Yeah.
And still just in awe all the time of the community that has sprung up around this little show. You know what I mean? And
our little show.
Yeah. It's, you know, we're just like the little engine that could. We've had people pass away and, you know, life, and yet somehow we keep figuring out a way to keep doing it. So
life has happened since I've met you, John. One day we're going to look back on our yacht.
On our
reminisce.
Yes. Yeah. This is going to be the bucket. If we're being realistic, we're going to
rent a pontoon in Nashville or something. I mean,
we're on the Chattahoochee River in a kayak, just reflecting.
That sounds like a great day to me, actually.
Yeah, it'd be fun. But so, yeah, just again, we would love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail, checkthelockspod.com. You can go there, also send us an email, drop us a line on Instagram, or you can DM myself on Facebook. If you're in our Facebook group, we would love to hear from you. And again, just want to say thank you for supporting us as we go through, and just super, super excited to hit 100 cases. But that is Monday. We're talking today. And Olivia, today is your case. What are we going to be getting into?
Well, we are taking it to a local story that is breaking news in my area. But really, it's like Tangipahoa Parish, which is just north of here. But I mean, our local news is like the bigger news of the Southeast. So like we cover a vast distance of, I guess, space on our local news.
Well, that makes sense. Yes, it definitely does. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was already familiar with it. I've got my finger on the pulse of the Tangipahoa Parish.
Tangipahoa. So. See, I'm bringing words you can't say this time.
That's true.
What?
Tangipahoa. I got it.
Tangipahoa. I don't even stutter over it.
Right. Yeah, I'll have a hard time with it. But but I was looking through your notes, and it really does look like an interesting case. And I don't know how you feel about it, but should we quit the Gabby Gabby, get with the Stabby Stabby, jump into this week's short on time case?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, on Thursday, June 13th, this past Thursday that we just had, I was actually rounding at the hospital when everybody's phones were going off with that loud, like, alert noise on the iPhones. You know what I'm talking about? Like, for Amber Alerts and... I think it's like severe weather sometimes.
Yeah, the emergency broadcast. That's how all those prisoners got caught in jail with cell phones like a couple months ago. What? Because they did a test of the system. And so everyone's phone was like, eh. And then, That's smart. All these prisoners who had smuggled in cell phones all got caught. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's so true. It's so loud. And I finally turned it off. And I think I did it years ago from an Amber Alert that had happened. And it woke me up at 3 a.m. and, you know.
Oh, I was in a movie theater once. Yeah, I was in a movie theater one time, and, you know, I forget what I was seeing, but it was, you know, we're sitting there in the dark and everybody's paying attention to the movie, and then everybody's phone, it was like, it's jarring to where you're like, what the hell? Yeah,
it scares you. That's what I was having. I was like, what is happening? And then nobody was like jumping at work, and I was like, okay, so the world's not ending, but nobody's saying what's happening. Well, it ended up being an Amber Alert for our area. And I'm going to just go ahead and read this Amber Alert so that everybody kind of has like an idea of what the situation was.
For sure.
Louisiana State Police have issued an Amber Alert on behalf of the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office for 3-year-old Aaron Burnett and 6-year-old Jaylee Burnett, who have been abducted. The children were last seen at an address, and they were abducted before 8 a.m. this morning. Aaron Burnett is a white female with brown hair and brown eyes. She's approximately 3 feet tall and weighs about 32 pounds. It is unknown what type of clothing she was wearing when she was abducted. Jaylee Burnett is a white female with brown hair and blue eyes. She is approximately 4 feet tall and weighs about 58 pounds. It's also unknown what type of clothes she was wearing when she was abducted. an unknown white male is wanted for questioning for a domestic violence incident which occurred at the time of the abduction and resulted in a homicide. He is believed to be driving a black 2012 Chrysler 200 with a Louisiana license plate. There is no hubcap on the back rack tire of the vehicle. There may be damage to the rear of the vehicle. He is believed to be armed and dangerous. Now that morning, 35-year-old Callie Burnett's father went to her house to check on her as he had not seen her since June 11th. Now this Amber Alert was on the 13th, so just a few days prior. According to witnesses, she was last seen taking out the trash. Her car was not in the driveway, so he decided to take a look inside her house. When he opened the door, he was shocked to find his daughter dead and her two young daughters missing. He immediately called 911 and the Amber Alert was issued for Callie's two children, 6-year-old Jaylee and 3-year-old Aaron. Now, Jackson, Mississippi police received a suspicious person report which led to the arrest of 36-year-old Daniel Callahan. But Daniel Callahan would lead police on a chase. He was traveling through Jackson, Mississippi in Callie's car that was listed in the Amber Alert. After his arrest, he took Mississippi police to Jaylee Brunett. Luckily, she was still alive. But their next discovery would be a heartbreaking one. Callahan then led detectives to a grassy area. There, 3-year-old Aaron Burnett lay lifeless. It was then that the U.S. Marshal's Office notified the Tangipahoa Sheriff's Office of Callahan's arrest. Since then, the FBI has stepped in to take over the investigation. Callahan told Mississippi police about his girlfriend, 32-year-old Victoria Cox. At the time, Cox was held up at a nearby motel. She was also arrested. As Callahan was being escorted to a nearby prison, he admitted to Aaron's murder. When asked by reporters if he killed Aaron, he replied, quote, "Unfortunately, on Lexapro, sober, no drugs, I did." When asked why, he replied, "I had no reason for what I did. All I know is I want to say I was sober and diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. I have only been out of the nut house for 2 weeks." Now, John, this is kind of like a summary of everything that he said. And I think we should list, like, post the actual, like, whole interview of him, like, walking out in the show notes.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Now, Callahan told police that he would not fight and would like a speedy trial. An autopsy was done on 35-year-old Callie Burnett. The results showed multiple sharp force wounds to her head, neck, back, chest, and abdomen. The coroner also reported that she had defensive wounds to both of her arms. Now, Callahan and Victoria Cox have been charged with capital murder and sexual battery for the death of 3-year-old Aaron. Victoria claims innocence. She's saying she did not know what happened to the girls and said that the last time she saw them, they were alive. They are pending charges from the U.S. Attorney's Office, the state of Louisiana, and Mississippi. Callahan is expected to have his first hearing on June 25th. Now, Callahan has a history of mental illness and drug use with amphetamines. He has been arrested 8 times since 2008 in Tangipahoa Parish alone. These charges varied from felony burglary, theft, aggravated battery, and simple assault. In 2009, he pled guilty to felony simple burglary and was sentenced to 12 years in prison, but that sentence was suspended as long as he was compliant with probation. But in 2014, he violated his probation and served 5 years in prison. He also received drug rehabilitation while in jail. Now, what's interesting is Callahan's sister, Dixie, has come forward saying things like, "Daniel's been in and out of boy homes. He's always been deceitful and manipulative." And Dixie claims that she's been trying to get her brother arrested and pleading with the police department for help. She also claims that Callahan admitted to her that he had molested a minor and took part in the murder of a Mississippi man. She feels that he has no remorse for his actions. And now something that gets even crazier is that Daniel Callahan's father, Kelly Wayne Draught, was sentenced to 21 years for manslaughter for the death of a young woman in the 90s. And I plan on doing that research and bringing it for my next Big Monday episode. So this is all what's happening this past week in my neck of the woods.
Wow, that's crazy. And to think that there's like a lineage of violent behavior. I did want to ask, because I don't know if we covered it, but what was Callahan's relation to Callie?
Yeah. So I realize I didn't mention that, but they reportedly had dated in the past, and Callie lived in a mobile home, like a single wide mobile home. And apparently Daniel had been like living in a tent on her like property. And so she had apparently had asked him to leave, like to go on. And so then that's when people thought that he could have been the person that they were looking for that would have kidnapped the kids.
Oh, geez. It's just, you know, when it comes to the children, right? And we've talked about it before on the podcast. It's just heartbreaking because that little girl probably, you know, never done a real bad thing in her entire life.
She's three.
Yeah, 3 years old. And you are defenseless, and I don't know. It's just like, it takes a real kind of monster to do something like that. And it, I don't know. It, these are the ones that like really, really get to me and kind of get under my skin. And again, I know he is innocent until proven guilty, but it seems
he confessed.
Right. But even with the confession, right? Like you still got to go through the trial. You still got to do everything. Yeah. Right. But it's still like, I don't know, man, like there's a certain place in hell for somebody like that.
Oh, I mean, his sister's on an interview saying like, I don't think he needs the death penalty. I think he needs to rot in jail. And these are her words, not mine. And so, you know, it just seems like this has been a pattern of behavior. And she made comments like he has said, you know, I just have an excuse because I take, you know, depression medicine or antipsychotics, and I just blame the side effects and can get away with everything. And apparently this has been a pattern of his bad behavior ongoing for quite some time.
Yeah, it seems like it's a very manipulative tactic. And it's, you know, like I said, like to just like to do that to a child, man. Like it, mm-hmm. like I don't understand. Like I said, I that's what makes me believe that there's real evil in the 100%. World. That evil exists and walks among us. And it's when you can do something like that. You know, my daughter's not much older.
No, and Jaylee's six. You know, she is Millie's age. And like, why not her? You know, and the trauma she's going to suffer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they call it. The like, you know, when people don't die in an accident and they have
like survivor's guilt.
Survival's guilt. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah. But, you know, just like looking at a kid like that, you know what I mean? And being like, I don't know, man.
Close proximity. We don't know if Jaylee saw her dead sister Aaron's little body. Like, we don't know what she saw. We don't know what happened in the car. You know, I think all of that will come out. And I'm pretty sure that this case will be like a big thing as it goes on here in town, because they're going to be charged in multiple places on different levels. I mean, the FBI is involved. This is a federal case at this point.
Yeah, and with, you know, kidnapping those children and taking them across state lines, it automatically becomes federal. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then the only other thing I can think is like, thank God they found this guy when they did, because mm-hmm. who knows what would have happened to Jaylee, mm-hmm. you know, like if he had plans to do the same thing to her. So, you know, this little girl's lost her mother. She's lost her sister.
Yeah. And who knows what they saw of that? You know, we didn't even talk about if, you know, little Jaylee saw her mother being beaten to death. I mean, he obviously went overkill. It was every portion of her body, and she tried to fight back, you know?
And I don't know. It's just hard to think that, like, this six-year-old kid is going to have that to deal with for the rest of her life. Like, it's hard enough when you lose a parent, you know, to something that isn't violent like this. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you miss that person every day. And you know what I mean? Like it's a hole in your heart that like you never can really fill, but to have that happen at such a young age and in such a brutal way, like I just hope she gets all the help that she needs. And there is people who love her to, you know, take care of her and, you know, help make sure that like she can still grow up to be well adjusted. And I don't know. It's just, it's sad, man.
Well, I will say that little Jaylee is back in Louisiana with her grandparents, so she is safe and with family.
That's good.
But yeah, this one's tough, and I'm definitely going to keep us updated on it.
Yeah, for sure. I want to know what happens to this guy. And I also want to know, I know it's still developing, so we don't know everything, but I want to know what role the girlfriend had in it, you know? So it's going to be interesting if this goes to trial to see, you know, what she has to say. Because, I again, I just don't know how, like, a person could be capable of doing that. That's the only thing that's going through my head is, like, how could you do that?
Like, yeah. You need to just go watch the videos because he's just like, yeah, I'm sober. I'm on Lexapro. And then he kind of says he's not on Lexapro. And then he's like, I'm not on drugs. And I did it. I did it. You know, just like stone cold, straight faced. I did it. I don't have a reason. I just did it.
Well, I know people with borderline personality disorder and they wouldn't kill a child.
Right.
Like, that's a weak ass excuse, you know, so. I don't know. If we're talking deadbolt test, I can tell you right now, being a dad, you know, that it's a 10. It's a 10 all day. Like, it's just, it's heartbreaking. But what about you? Where would you put it?
I'm putting it the same. You know, I think I have so many questions, and I hope that this is a case where we get to find out the answers to our questions. But I don't know, like, if this guy was suffering with, like, a couple thoughts. Like, is he suffering with mental illness so bad that he has to go to these extremes because he's like, give me lethal injection in part of these interviews? And they're not even interviews. It's him walking in handcuffs to the car and, like, the reporters are just, like, asking him questions. But, like, he's like, give me lethal injection. Like, does he want to be done? Like, is this something that he, like, planned out? Or is he just... I mean, either way, he's got mental illness because he just killed somebody, a little girl and her mother. And I hope that we get a little bit more understanding and maybe we get to the evaluations that he has will actually give us the true picture of who Daniel Callahan is and like if there's a true reason or whatever it may be. But I just hope that we get answers and it's not something that's just like, I did it. I'm not saying anything. Send me to jail for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I will say, especially with his father having a similar kind of history, I'm sure it is something that, you know, runs in the family genetically or something of that nature. But I'm not a fan of the death penalty. You know, it's just not my thing. And especially in something like this, I'm like, no, like, don't. Because to me, it almost feels like a cop out where he's like, yeah, just kill me. Because if you, yeah, because then it's just over where I'm like, no.
So it's like, is that what he wants?
Yeah. Like, I think you should be in prison for the rest of your life with, you know, some of the meanest folks. You know what I mean? Like, like you deserve to sit and think about what you did forever.
For a long time.
You know, so.
Well, he's going to be tried in Louisiana. And the way our state's going, who knows what he's going to get?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And we'll definitely have to keep an eye on it. But. That is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's episode. Olivia and I are both putting it at a 10, but as always, we have to throw it out to our listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Callie and Aaron Brunette fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. Find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Get a clue, all right? Nerd, come hang out with us in the Facebook group. We would love to get to know you, spend a little time with you. And if you like the show, you want to help financially support what we do, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks, get signed up today. Got a lot of great benefits. There's exclusive stickers, coffee mugs, things you can only get for being a patron. Plus, you get the episodes ad free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you like what we do, you want to help us keep the lights on, that's patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us every week, and sharing what we do with your friends and family means just as much, if not more. So if that is you, you're telling people to listen, you know, hey, check out this little true crime podcast. Just know that we appreciate it so much. Again, our goal is to extend our family, right? We want to bring as many people in this community as we can because it's such an awesome community. And the way that we do that is by you letting people know that we exist. So again, from the bottom of our hearts, if you are letting people know to check out the show, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks in your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week. Hug them babies.